Family says, amen, amen. God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, we're going to actually take a pause from our study through Mark, and we're actually going to be in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, and we're actually just going to be focusing on one verse, verse 14, and being that we are entering Holy Week, and being that this Friday we're going to be remembering and celebrating the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thought it would be good to share a message on the cross, on the sacrifice of the Savior. And so we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. And when you have it, fam, you can let me know by saying amen, amen, and we can read it together as a family. The book of Galatians chapter 6, let's read verse 14. And this is what the Word of God says. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Amen. This is the Word of the Lord. And all of God's people says, amen, amen. This afternoon, fam, I have titled my message simply, Boasting in the Cross. Boasting in the Cross. Here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the Apostle Paul tells us that he boasted more than anything else in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a very, very incredible statement for Paul to make, because if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, you know that he actually lived a very brilliant and a very incredible life. Paul was brilliant, and God did so much in Paul and through Paul. And so Paul had a lot to boast about. In other words, there was a lot of things Paul could have bragged about. He could have boasted in his higher education. He was a trained rabbi who studied under a very prominent teacher in Israel. He also could have boasted in his social prestige and his position. He was a Roman citizen by birth. He also could have boasted or bragged in his religious background. Paul tells us that he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, that he was trained in the rabbinic schools, and he knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. And so Paul had so much that he could have bragged about. But Paul tells us that he didn't brag in any of those things. In fact, far from boasting in himself or in his achievements or accomplishments, Paul tells us that he bragged in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, what also makes that even more incredible is because besides the cross, there could have been many other things that Paul could have boasted about concerning Jesus. What I mean is, Paul could have talked and boasted about Jesus' miraculous life, all the miracles Jesus accomplished. He could have boasted about Jesus' teachings, the parables, the teachings, the instructions that Jesus gave. He could have boasted about the resurrection of Jesus. He even could have boasted about the second coming of Christ. Paul could have boasted about all of those things, but instead he tells us that he chose to boast about the cross of Christ. He chose to glory in the cross. He chose to render praise for the cross. He chose to rejoice in the cross. And as you read that, you're tempted to say, What a strange thing to boast about. Because in Paul's day, the cross was the electric chair, the gas chamber of the first century. Paul would actually tell us that the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews. It was foolishness to the Greeks, and it was a disgrace to the Romans. That was the cross in Paul's time. It was an instrument of shame, horror, and death. Historians tell us that the cross was only reserved for the worst criminals. That the cross was a disgusting, sickening sight. One theologian described the cross in this way: shredded flesh against unforgiving wood. Iron stakes pounded through bones and racked nerves. Joints wrenched out of the socket by the sheer dead weight of the body. Public humiliation before the eyes of family, friends, and the world. That was the death at the cross. And yet, Paul tells us that it was in this cross of Christ, this instrument of shame and this instrument of death, Paul tells us that he boasted and gloried and rejoiced. He literally tells us, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question is this: why boast in the cross? Why render praise? Why glory in the cross? If the cross was such a horrible instrument of shame and death, if there was so much more that Paul could have boasted about, why boast in the cross? What's so special about the cross of Christ? Why do we sing about the cross? Why do we glory about the cross? Why do we share with others the message of the cross? What is it about the death of Jesus? What makes the death of Jesus so special and so powerful? Why this Friday will we stop everything we're doing to come to church and to celebrate and to rejoice in the cross of Christ? Why boast in the cross? Well, this afternoon, with the time that I have, and I promise you I'm not going to take too much time, I want to try to answer that question for you. I want to share with you three reasons why Paul boasted in the cross, and three reasons why we boast in the cross. Three reasons why the cross is good news in Paul's day, and it is still good news today. Amen. And so I want to share with you three things. As we're going to see that in the cross, every aspect, every detail of our salvation is accomplished. So let me give you three things, fam, and I promise you I will not take too long. First, if you have your Bible, stay in Galatians. We're actually going to survey the book of Galatians. And turn with me to chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The first thing I want to share with you is this, that the cross of Christ saves us from the penalty of sin. Why boast in the cross? Why glory in the cross? Why render praise for the cross? Well, first, the cross saves us from the penalty of sin. And look with me, fam, there in Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4. There Paul says this. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And then look at verse 4. "Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." And so first, Why boast in the cross? What is it about the message of the cross? Why brag? Why proclaim the cross? Well, first, it's because it's the cross that saves us from the penalty of our sins. At the cross, Jesus gave himself as a substitute for our sins. Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. Jesus literally bore our sins at the cross. He paid our sin debt. We like to use the word. He was a propitiation for our sins. Literally, he bore the wrath, the judgment of God on our behalf. And so it's only through the cross that we find salvation from the penalty of our sins. Paul would later tell us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, we are sinners. Even on our best day, ultimately, according to the Bible, there is no good person. There is none who are righteous. But all of us have fallen short of God's glory. Very easy to understand. God has a standard. I'm not that standard. And you're not on that standard. Even on our best day, we fall short. But this is the bad news. Because of our sins, because we have broken God's commandments, because we have fallen short of the glory of God, we are under God's judgment. We did the crime, and so we have to pay the time. And the Bible teaches us that the judgment is eternal hell forever. Separation from God for all of eternity. But this is the good news. And this is why Paul boasted in the cross. At the cross, God literally took our place. And God bore our judgment, and God was our substitute. And literally the judgment and the wrath and the condemnation that we deserved, God took it for us in the person of Jesus Christ. So literally at the cross, there is a great exchange. Jesus gets my sins, and through faith in him, I get his forgiveness and his righteousness. The Bible teaches us that a priest cannot save, a church cannot save, good works cannot save, traditions cannot save, a good life cannot save. There's only one who can save, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's the power of the cross. And that's why Paul says, God forbid if I boast except in the cross. I can't boast on my good works. I can't boast on my religion. I can't boast because I know a lot of scripture or because I say a lot of prayers. I'm a sinner who deserves judgment. That's all I deserve. All I deserve is God's judgment. But at the cross, Jesus took my judgment. Now through faith in Jesus, I receive forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. And so Paul tells us, God forbid, unless I boast in the cross. If I'm going to boast about something, I'm not going to boast about myself. I'm boasting the cross, because it's at the cross we find salvation from the penalty of sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, what a message. And that's why Paul says, man, if I'm going to boast in something, I'm going to boast in the cross. Because the cross is the message of salvation. It's the message of salvation that Jesus saves. That you don't have to, be a good person. You don't need all that religion and all that good works and all those traditions, because that's not going to get you anywhere. On your best day, you're still not good enough. But the message of the cross is Jesus took our place. And through faith in Jesus and through faith in his finished work, man, you can be saved. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves from the penalty of sin. You know, yesterday we had an anniversary here at the church. We were celebrating the 25th anniversary for a very close friend of mine and a close brother here at the church. I'm not going to mention his name just in case you weren't invited. I don't want to put him on the spot, but I promise you, this sanctuary was packed. There was like 200 people, 250 people here. And I knew that a lot of the family members of this brother and of this sister were going to be here. And many of them are unsaved. And the brother actually asked me to oversee the ceremony and to give the message. And so as I was preparing for the message, all I was thinking about is, man, this is my opportunity. Hundreds of people are going to be here who are not serving the Lord. And so I thought to myself, man, I don't want to talk about marriage, or I don't want to talk about an anniversary. I just want to talk about Jesus. If I'm going to boast in something, if I'm going to talk about something, man, I got to present Jesus. And so by the grace of God, during the ceremony, we were just proclaiming Jesus, that he's the only Savior. Man, it was like bubbling up, man. It was so hard to control. I just literally shouted, Jesus saves. And if you don't know him, you need to know him. You need to give your life to him. You need to surrender your life to Jesus, because there's no other way but Jesus. And you need to have a relationship with him. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just going through some motions. It's more than just saying a prayer or singing some songs. You need to know him personally. You need to place your faith and trust in him, because he's the only way to salvation. And so Paul says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the cross, because it's only through the cross you can get saved. And the penalty of sin. But the second thing I want to share with you is, not only does the cross save from the penalty of sin, but the cross saves from the power of sin. Turn with me now to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. There Paul tells us this, and this is a classic verse that you all have, like on a magnet in your refrigerator, right? Or some of you just posted this on your Facebook account this morning. This is the verse, Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Look at what he says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So why boast in the cross? First, it saves from the penalty of sin. But second, it also saves from the power of sin. Now, as believers, those of you who are Christians, who have accepted Christ, who are born again by the Spirit of God, listen to this. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus died to sin on the cross, we also die to sin with him. And Paul goes into detail of that truth in Romans 6. That literally when Jesus died, we were united in his death. We were in a very real way crucified with Christ. And so the idea there is the old Adam with his old ways and his old desires was crucified with Jesus, nailed on the cross, buried in the tomb, crucified. The old Adam died when Jesus died. The old Adam with his old ways and his old desires and his old addictions and his old way of thinking is officially dead. And the idea there is he no longer has power over my life. He no longer has control over my life. He no longer has control over my decisions that I make or the places that I go or the words that I share or the things that I listen to. I have been crucified with Christ. Have been crucified with Christ. And so the idea there is now in Christ, I have power over sin. I have power over sin. I have power over the old life, the old ways, the old desires. In Christ, I have been given a new life. I'm alive to God. And now I can serve God because I'm in Christ. And many of you, you need to hear that this afternoon. Many of you. Because many of you find yourself always going back to the old ways. That's the majority of us. The old ways. The old man. Many of us. Many of us, we've given our lives to Christ. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. But many of us still struggle with the power of sin. And many of us are living defeated lives. Many of you are defeated, man. You're defeated. You're always running back to your old ways. You're always running back to your old way of thinking. You're always running back to saying those same words or falling back in the same hole. And you think to yourself, but what happened? I gave my life to Christ. I accepted Jesus in my heart. I did it genuinely, sincerely. What happened? Well, what happened is you haven't applied this verse to your life. You don't understand that, man, Jesus saves from the penalty, but he also saves from the power of sin. And you're dead. You're dead in Christ. Why are you keeping running back to your old ways? You're dead. You're dead. There's nothing to go back to. You're dead in Christ. You're dead. Don't talk that way. That's not you anymore. Don't think that way. That's not you anymore. Don't go to those places. Don't talk to her. Don't talk to him. It's not you anymore. You're dead. You're dead in Christ. You have power over sin in Christ, in the cross, in Jesus. You're a new creation. Start acting like it. Christ will give you grace. Christ will help you. Christ will give you the power. You know, I think of a testimony that a brother once shared with me. Just blessed me. I'll never forget it. The brother is here, but I will not mention his name because I don't want to put him on the spot. Amen. But this brother actually shared with me that all his life he was a thief. All his life. Number one thief. He was the type of guy that if you were talking to him, you needed to put your hands in your pocket because he just didn't know with him. And he said that eventually the Lord did a work in his heart. He gave his life to the Lord. He gave his life here at this church through this fellowship. But he said that after he gave his life to the Lord, there was still a lot of Egypt in him. As there's still a lot of Egypt in us. And he said that literally one day, shortly after he gave his life to the Lord, he actually went to a store. And he said, immediately, as he was just walking down the aisles, he just started grabbing stuff and putting it in his pocket. Because that's all he knew for years. He was a master thief. And so literally, he just said, he's just walking down the aisle and he's just grabbing something. He had those jackets that had like 50 pockets, you know, and one pocket here, one pocket there, in the back. Literally just filled himself with items. But he said that as he was making the turn to the next aisle, he said all of a sudden God spoke to him. God spoke to his heart. He said that he literally felt as if he heard the voice of God. And literally God told him, hey, what are you doing? That's not you anymore. That's the old you. What are you doing? I saved you from all of this. I saved you from all of this. And he literally said that he literally stopped. And it was as if he said, you're right. You did save me from all of this. And he literally made a U-turn and he put everything back. Walked away and paid for the item that he wanted to get. Saved you from all of that. Brother, why are you still doing that? Sister, why are you still watching that? Brother, why are you still going back to those old friends? Jesus saved you from all that. You're a new creation. God has saved you. When Jesus died, you died. That old you doesn't have power over you anymore. That old self is not in control. Jesus is in control. Jesus saved you. Jesus rescued you. Jesus has made you into a new creation. There's no more excuses. You do have the power in Christ. You don't have to live like a slave anymore. You don't have to go back to him or to her or to it. You're free in Christ. You're free in Christ. You're alive now. You're a new creation. God has saved you from the power of sin. And that's why Paul says, man, I boast in the cross, because in the cross I have salvation from the penalty of sin. But in the cross I also find salvation in the power of sin. And that's for many of us today. Many of us, man, we're believers, we're in Christ, but we still live as slaves. We're still slaves to the things of the world. We're still slaves to old thoughts or to guilt or to condemnation. We're still slaves to addictions. Some of us are slaves to depression, to emotions that the enemy is just using to destroy us. And today the message is, man, Jesus saves from hell, but Jesus also saves from the power of sin. And you can find salvation. You don't have to live like a slave. Man, so many times people come up to me, especially old friends, and they say, man, I wish I could live like you're living. I wish I could make the decisions you're made. And I always say, you can in Christ. You can live a life that's honoring to God. You can be the man that God has called you to be. You can be that husband. You can be that wife. You can be the father and the mother that God has called you to be in Christ. In Christ, with Jesus' help, with Jesus' power, with the grace and with the Holy Spirit of God, you can be that man and woman that God has called you to be. Because that's why Jesus died. It's really the message of the cross. Man, Jesus died to save us from hell. But Jesus also wants to save you today. Today. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Because right now, some of you, man, you're just struggling. You got so many things inside of you, outside of you, that's killing you. And the message is, you don't have to live that way. That's why Jesus came to save us. And he wants to save you now, today. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to give you new everything. And that's why he gave his life. He gave his life in order that he can give us new life. So the cross saves from the penalty, but also the power of sin. And then notice third, and I end with this, the cross also saves from the presence of sin. The presence of sin. Look at Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. Why boast in the cross? Because it saves from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And now notice third, from the presence of sin. There in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul tells us this, fam. But when the fullness of the time had come, look at this, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Look at this, okay, fam. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Look at this. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, but a daughter. You're not a slave no more, but in Christ, you've been set free. And then look what Paul says. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. An heir of God. You know what that means? That means as believers, because of what Jesus did, one day we are going to receive an inheritance. One day we're going to receive a glorious inheritance. One day, man, we're going to enter into God's heaven and we're going to receive an inheritance from the Lord. One day Jesus is even going to save us from the present of sin. One day Jesus is going to finish the work he started in our lives, and he's going to save us from this evil world. This world is not our true home. You know, right now, and I want to say this very, very carefully, very, very delicately, okay? I don't want to be insensitive, but I'm just going to share this, and you're all going to understand. Right now, there's a big discussion going on when it comes to immigration. And the truth is, this is not the time or place for me to comment on that, but at the end of the day, as a believer, man, we're all immigrants. So don't be tripping on an immigrant because you're an immigrant. As a believer, maybe we're aliens in this world. This is not our true home. This is not my true place of citizenship. Yes, I live here, I serve here, I will honor the law of the land, I will pay my taxes, I will be a good citizen for the glory of Christ. But at the end of the day, my citizenship is in heaven. I'm an heir. I've been saved even from the presence of sin. And one day, man, Jesus is coming for me. Jesus is coming back. He's going to take me to be with him forever. And we must never lose sight of eternity. Remember, God has saved you from the penalty of sin. God is saving you from the power of sin. And one day, and this is our hope, he's going to save us from the presence of sin. One day, we're all going home. One day, we will enter into glory. And so the exhortation is don't live for the things of this world. Yes, Work, yes. Be faithful, yes. Be responsible, yes. Be a good steward. But remember, this is not the end of your story. You're just passing through. Keep your eyes on eternity. You know, when I was in school, I always had a professor that would always tell me, keep your eyes on the prize. He always would tell me that. Keep your eyes on the prize. Adam, whatever happens after you graduate, wherever you go, whatever you accomplish by the grace of God, keep your eyes on the prize. Remember, you're just a pilgrim here. Don't live for money. Don't live for success. Don't live for ministry. Keep your eyes on the prize. Live for eternity. Live for eternity. Because we entered the world with nothing. And guess what? You're going to leave with nothing. Live for eternity. On occasion, I read a story. I end with this. And Joni, you can come up, brother. I'm going to end a little early. There was a missionary couple that were coming back from Africa to the States. And they were literally coming back on a very large boat, a cruise liner, you might say, because in those days, that's how you would cross the Atlantic. And it just so happens that after years of serving in ministry and years of just committing their service in Africa to the work of missions, it was time to come back to the States. And so as they arrived at New York, it so happens that on the same boat with them was the president of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt. And so Teddy Roosevelt, as he walked off the boat, he was met with a parade and with a band and with news agencies. Everybody was just celebrating the return of the president. But when the old missionary couple were exiting the boat, there was not a single person to meet them and to welcome them. They committed more than 50 years on the mission field, and they came back, and nobody even cared. And so right away, the gentleman, he started getting upset. And he told his wife, man, that this is not right. This is not fair. We dedicated over 50 years for the work of the Lord. We served, we sacrificed, we suffered, and we come back home, and there's not even one person to meet us. Nobody cares. Not even one person. And his wife, being so wise, like all women are, she said, you know what? You need to go into the bedroom and you need to talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. You need to argue with God about it. And so the gentleman said, you know what? You're right. Need to go argue with God for a little bit. And he went into his room. He was there for a few hours. And then he came back, and his face, his countenance, his attitude was completely different. He was now rejoicing and whistling and happy. And his wife said, you heard from God, didn't you? He said, yeah, I did. And she asked him, well, what did he say? He said, well, he told me, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. That's why there's no celebration. That's why there's nobody here to receive us. That's why there's no parade. We haven't arrived home yet. We're not home yet. We're still passing through. One day we'll go home. One day there'll be a celebration. One day we'll be received. One day Jesus the King will receive us, but we're not home yet. And that's what I tell you. You're not home yet, fam. We're just passing through. one day we'll be home, but we're not there yet. And so don't live for the things of this world. Live for eternity. Why boast in the cross? Because first, the cross saves from the penalty of sin. Second, the cross saves from the power of sin. And third, God, the cross saves one day from the presence of sin. And Paul tells us, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ. May the Holy Spirit give us grace to boast in the cross and to share and preach the cross. God bless you, fam. Let us stand. And this is what I want to do. I want to spend time praying for someone this afternoon. I can almost guarantee you that there are many here that, man, you have a need, you have a struggle, you have a battle. There's something going on in your heart, in your life that only you know about, only the Lord knows, but you're fighting something. You find yourself always going back maybe to your old ways, always going back to your old friends, your old habits. And if that's you, you know what? The Lord has placed it in my heart. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to just take the time to pray for you, to pray with you. And this is what we're going to do, though, because a lot of people, man, you want prayer, and you're like, I need prayer, but sometimes you have the attitude, but I'm embarrassed because I don't want people to think I'm that sinner at church. And so this is what we're going to do, just because we love you so much, fam, because you're important to us. We don't want nobody to feel weird or awkward, out of place. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask everyone, it's in your heart to come, but everyone to pass up front, and then you can come with them. So let's do that right now. Let's just all of us dismiss here at the altar. Come on up, fam, brothers, sisters. I'm just going to invite everyone to come up. And so those of you who have needs, those of you who have struggles, and let's say that you do need prayer, but you're a little shy, you're a little embarrassed, come on up with everybody. Everybody's coming up. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. And this is what I'm asking you to do. If you're with your wife, put your arm around your wife. If you're by yourself, find a brother. If you're a brother, if you're by yourself, you're a sister, find a sister. Put your arm around that sister. Put your arm around that brother, and take the time to pray for them. Let's just ask the Lord for grace. Lord, we are here this afternoon, Lord, and man, we heard your word, Lord, and man, we believe in your word. We agree with your word, Lord, that it's only in you, Christ. It's only in the cross that we find salvation. It's only in Jesus Christ. And Lord, every single one of us, we confess, Lord, that we are sinners and we need a Savior. We need help, Lord. We need help, Lord. We have needs, Lord. We have struggles. We have battles. Every single one of us, Lord, we're battling with something, Lord. Some, Lord, are battling with depression. Some, Lord, are battling with lust, Lord. Some are battling with anger or hate. Some are battling with a drug addiction. Whatever it is, or whatever the struggle is, Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord. We believe that there's power in the cross, Lord. We believe that there's power in the name of Jesus, that there is power in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your power, Lord, that you would do a work, Lord, in every heart, in every life, Lord, that you, Jesus, would draw near even now, and that you would set that brother free, that you would set that sister free, that you would set that loved one, Lord. Many of us, Lord, we have loved ones. Some have husbands, some have wives, some have cousins, aunts, uncles, and they need you, Jesus. We ask, Lord, even now, that you would do that work, Lord. Do that work, Lord. in Jesus' name. Do that work, Lord. Do the work, Lord, that only you can do, Lord. Lord, we confess. I confess, Lord, that I don't have the power, Lord. Lord, I confess that I can't do it, Lord. I can't serve you, Lord. I don't have the desires at times. I don't have the energy. I don't have the power. But you do, Lord. Do that work, Lord. Touch my heart, Lord. Touch my life, Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you say that with me, fam? Would you just raise your hands as high as you can? Would you say, Lord, touch my heart, Lord. Touch my life, Lord. Help me, Lord. Give me strength, Lord. Give me power, Lord. Give me grace, Lord. I need you, Lord. My family needs you, Lord. My marriage needs you, Lord. My children need you, Lord. My church needs you, Lord. Do the work, Lord. Touch my heart, Lord. Touch my life, Lord. Give me victory, Lord. Lord, I want victory over sin, Lord. Over the old me, Lord. Do that work, Lord, that only you can do, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing this song, fam. Keep your hands up and we'll end with